Good. Tea was good. Very helpful. How many of you want to go back home? Hey, what's happened? Okay, anyway. So what I kind of decided that we'll do for the next 40 minutes or so, maybe lesser than that, is to kind of think about how we need to use our talents for the kingdom of God. You know what happens is when we are young, all right? When we are young, we tend to underestimate our energy, yeah, and we tend to spend a lot of energy in the wrong places. So I just want to share with you a few thoughts based on a well-known parable that Jesus said about the talents, okay, and a few practical hints from that, and then we will close. So I hope this will be useful. If it is already something that you know, then it's okay. We'll, for the benefit of the rest, we'll just kind of go through it, okay. Before we get into this next session, let's kind of think about God's great purpose for our lives, and let us think about areas that we need to correct. Let us think about our love getting cold, and all the reasons that make our love grow cold, and ask God to kind of keep us warm in His presence. And we would always wake up every day morning into the fullness of His glory, and understand the vastness of who He is, and the largeness of who God is, and that our mind would kind of be opened up to that realm of understanding this big, great God. Not to just limit our discussions to people like Moses and Abraham and Joseph and all that, but to understand the kind of God that they served. So, like I mentioned, this cannot be done through a sermon, or it cannot be done through getting together in this fashion. It is a supernatural work that the Lord has to do in our own lives, you know. The revelation of Jesus Christ, how the way He revealed Himself to the Apostle John, and when he saw Jesus, he fell flat on his face and worshipped this almighty, incomprehensible God. Unless we get a kind of flavor of who this God is, it's very difficult for us to pursue godliness. Like I mentioned before, this is all, apart from my next session, just few things. We always hear messages about how Joseph ran. You know, when I was your age, I used to say, yes, I want to run, but my shoes are stuck, not able to move. You know, how do I move? I know I'm supposed to run, but I'm not able to run. So, the understanding of who God is very, very important in this whole process. It's like this. Now, say for example, you have a massive problem, or I have a massive problem with a vice, a bad habit. Say for example, drinking or say pornography or something like that. And I'm struggling, right? I'm struggling big time with some of those vices. And it's natural for me to say, I'm weak. I'm not able to kind of get out of it. If God wants to save me, let Him save me. I'm not able to get out of it, right? That's one way of looking at it. And how can you get deliverance from that? There are many ways of it. Sometimes people get deliverance like this. Overnight they pray and it's over. Well, it never happened for me that way. For most of the people, it doesn't happen that way. It is a lifelong struggle of saying yes to God and no to sin. And the most important thing for that, for you to just understand this, say, you are in this vice and you're not able to get out of it. See, I'm married, okay? I've got one wife and two kids, and what if I've got this huge habit I'm not able to overcome? And I'm say, in front of this habit and not able to say no. Tomorrow, for example, I want to kind of take a sip, or I want to watch this nonsense, and I'm saying I'm not able to do it. Tomorrow, what if the ISIS, okay, they barge into my house and they take my wife and daughter captive, okay? And they say, if you watch that, I'm going to kill your wife and daughter. Will I ever watch that? It's a no-brainer, right? You don't have to think. I will not watch it, right? Or I will not drink it. Is it right or not? So what I'm trying to say is, sin is very relative. Temptation is very relative. If I don't consume myself with something greater, it is not possible for me to say no to the lesser happinesses of life. If anybody has told you sin is not fun, they are lying. Sin is a lot of fun. Okay? I mean, people who have sinned know what I'm talking about. Sin is fun. And let us not deceive ourselves by saying sin is not fun. Yes, the consequences of it at the end of the day, we learn from Samson. That is a different story altogether. But sin is fun. It is a lot of fun. Solomon said, you know, it is fun. But if I need to say no to that fun, I need to see the glorious gospel. I need to see the Lord high and lifted, and He should be the most beautiful thing in my eye. Otherwise, it was very difficult for me to say no to the rest of the stuff, you know. And the important discipline for that is to understand. To understand the largeness of God is to understand His Word. And that is why people say, pray, read the Bible, you know, fellowship with other people. We always think you go to camps and give us this pill, you know, what this one pill. We eat it and tomorrow onwards no sinning. Doesn't work. And that is what they say, pray, read the Bible. Read the Bible, the whole idea of reading the Bible is to understand how big Jesus is. The enormity of sin, the vastness of God, and His beauty, and all of that. So many a times we have such a small sized image of God. You know, like somebody said, we are involved in graduate sins because we have an undergraduate view of God. You know, that is the problem. We don't understand God in His magnanimity. I mean, tomorrow if you were to go to Apostle John on the island of Patmos and you told him, here is all the vices of the world, and he's in front of the one who's sparkling in brilliance like the, and his feet are like fire, and his eyes are dashing, and out of his mouth is a sword which is double-edged, and he's standing in front of this great God, and tomorrow you go throw vices at John, he will not even look at it. He would wonder, what are you out of your mind to throw these kind of chocolates into my hand, you know? So that is the kind of attitude that as young people we need to develop. It's not easy. It requires hard, heavy discipline for us to get there. Okay? And that is the importance of discipline. It becomes a means of grace to understand who Jesus is. Okay? It becomes a means. It's not spiritual maturity. It is not legalism. It is a means of grace to understand who God is. Alright, do you understand what I'm trying to say here? Okay, it is not by that work that we become saved. I'm just trying to say that this is how we are able to kind of say no to the lesser things, because we are able to say yes to a greater God. Yeah, so these are things that will only help you in your spiritual walk. Everything else is motivational speaking. Everything else is just to pump you up and kind of motivate you and send you back. But these are the things that help you in your Christian walk. Alright, so I just wanted to say this as a kind of outline. What I'm going to get into is something totally different, but just wanted to kind of give you this. Because I know when people come and say it is tough, okay? I know it talks about Jesus that He's our great high priest, because He was just like us without sin. He's able to understand what we went through. I'm not like that. I've gone through it, and I've also been tempted, and I've also been failed, you know, have failed. So in that sense, I understand what you're trying to tell me, okay, when we fail. But Jesus is, He needs to become more and more beautiful. Like we sang, right? The things of the earth will grow strangely dim. It will not grow dim unless He becomes the brightest. If there are other bright stars in our galaxy, it becomes very difficult for us to focus on that. So that is from a spiritual discipline, theological perspective, I want to kind of give you that hint that our mind should just pop up to the bigness of our God. You know, the bigness of our God. That He is all satisfying. You know, He's got pleasures at His right hand. How can we have pleasures at the right hand of God? I mean, when people used to tell me all that earlier, it never used to make sense to me, because there are so many other pleasures. Yeah, those are pleasures, right? Those are fun. So we need to understand that, and that requires training. That requires a sincere effort of reading God's Word. So spiritual maturity doesn't happen. We are not born spiritually mature. It has to happen. It's like driving. It's like driving. When you drive first, how do you drive? You know, 3 meters away, 4 meters away, you're very, very, very careful. After a while, it's okay, right? You just kind of maneuver yourself very comfortably, because you understood the art of driving, and kind of getting through temptation in this wicked world is like that. Unless we understand the art of walking with God, it's quite difficult. The reason why I want to say this is because sometimes when somebody speaks about Samson and Joseph and all that, it becomes intimidating. It's like, what are you talking about? It's just not possible. Yeah, but these are the practical aspects of walking with God. Anyway, so let me get into what I want to share with you. The reason why I'm going to share this is basically because I believe a lot of young people waste their time. Okay, and that is the reason why I want to share this with you. Okay, when I was in college, how many of you passed college working? Anybody in college? The rest of you are all in school, is it? Then what? So who all are in school? Ah, okay. So there are a lot of you in school. Okay, got it. All right. So when I was in college, I'm audible, right? My energy levels are kind of down because I kind of traveled the entire last week. Can I get some water? My water bottle was out. Siddharth, I think it's next to you. In Malayalam, we used to say, "Ningal enna vellam kudipikkiyanu." When I went to college, in Hindustan College of Engineering. Okay, that is in Chennai. I did all my schooling in Tiruvalla. That's like the center of the universe. Who knows Tiruvalla? I don't know. Does anybody know Tiruvalla? Yeah, it's like the capital of the world. I don't know if you. You should come there. If you want to see the capital of the world, that's where I was born. And it's a small town in Kerala, for those of you who are wondering where Tiruvalla is. And that's where I went to school. When I went to college, okay, I went to college because I wanted to go to Chennai. Okay, that's my funda was I wanted to go to Chennai. Chennai to me was everything. Did I share this last time? No, I didn't. What did I share? Anything? Oh, no. Okay, so I'm safe. I've got something else. So, you know, sometimes I'm scared if I repeat things, people will be bored. Like, you've heard this before. Why do you want to waste your time? So when I went to Chennai, we all went through a lot of ragging. Okay, a lot of ragging. Anyone gone through ragging? Yeah? You gone through ragging? Okay, just one of us. We got just one friend. Okay, we went through ragging, and ragging is very simple. Okay, in Hindustan, it's pretty simple. When you go there, they'll ask you to sing a song, and you sing a song, right? And then they ask you to dance, and they teach you also how to dance, right? Put a bulb on and all that, right? Yeah. So we did all the dancing bit, and fortunately, midway through the ragging season, they realized that I can play an instrument, all right? So I played some music for them, and the seniors loved me. So they used to call me to their hostels in the evening to entertain them like Mr. Samson. So I was entertaining them in the night, without sleep and things like that. And so when I went to college, okay, the first year of college, yes, I knew the Lord. I had accepted Him somewhere along the way, and I was serious about Jesus and my faith and things like that. But when I went to college, one thing I didn't want is to associate myself with other Christians. That is something I didn't want. Okay, I grew up in Tiruvalla as the son of a preacher. I don't know, many people know my father. Fortunately, you all don't know, so I'm happy. But I'm always known as, my father's name is George Charyan, so they say George Charyan's son, you know. So everybody knows George Charyan in that side of the world. So I grew up as that, and though I loved Jesus, I didn't want to have anything to do with the Jesus crowd, you know. You get what I'm saying? So that's the reason why I went to Chennai. So I went to Chennai and I had a good time. Let me be honest. Huh? First year was good. Nothing, always there for the fellowship meetings, all good. I had a good time. And I started playing this instrument. So they said, "Freshers is coming up. Why don't you do something?" Okay, so we used to do a lot of 80s. Anybody into 80s music? No? Bon Jovi, Def Leppard? No? Okay. Anyway, so we used to sing a lot of 80s music. And I sang. During that time also I sang. And fortunately, in college, you become a rock star overnight because everybody thinks you are like the world. Until they get out of college, they realize that they have much better options. But before that, you know, you are like everything. So I used to play. I played for freshers and then, you know, became a big phenomenon. But I used to come for this fellowship meeting and sit in the back. All right? I used to sit in the back. And when they say the last prayer, I used to vanish, scoot. I didn't want them to come and say hi, hello and all that. I'm there to, you know, kind of learn the word and vanish. Don't want to have anything to do with you because I didn't want the label, Padri. You know, otherwise they'll call you a Padri fellow, he's walking around. Didn't want that label, so I vanished. I'll tell you why I'm telling you all this, okay, later. So, one of these sessions, I sat there, I vanished, and then the guitarist of the fellowship went. He was not there anymore, okay. So they said, hey, there's this chap, he knows how to play, why don't you catch him and all that. And I said, hey, nothing doing, don't even call me. I'm not, whatever it is. And I used to vanish. So every time I used to scoot, and our seniors still tell me about that, you know. So I used to scoot. And one day, second year, now ragging is over, everything's over, we are like seniors, we are like the dudes, you know, we are like the happening people around, we decide what happens. And I'm still a believer on the Lord Jesus Christ and things like that. So I scooted one of these sessions, and my junior, his name is Sujit, he came running up to me. He came to my room. Okay, he came to my room, knocked on my door, and he said, what's happening? And he said, I want to tell you something. I asked him what. He said, Cherry, this is like somebody told him this. Okay, so he's repeating this. He said, Cherry, I want you to tell me this. Do you know which is the richest place on planet Earth? So I'm like, yeah, he's already started his philosophy. Now where it's going to end? So I said, don't get into the philosophy and all that. Tell me, you know, whatever you want to tell me, I'm here to listen. So he said, Cherry, it's the grave. It's the grave. Okay. So I said, yeah, okay. So if it's the grave, why is it the grave? So then he told me it's because of all the unused talents that people have taken along with them to the grave. Okay, that's what he said. I said, okay, fine, I agree, no problem. Then he looked me in the eye and he said this. He said, Cherry, don't you make the grave a richer place. Don't you make the grave a richer place. You know, because I was a follower of Jesus. You know, after he left, I said, thank you very much for all your bhashan and all that. Okay, thank you. And I sent him back. And after he left, I was thinking about it. And the Lord convicted me very clearly that I was wasting my talent. You know, I was wasting my talent. And I knelt down there on my, I think it was room number 313 or something like that in Gemini Hostel. That's where I stayed. On the second floor, I knelt beside my bed and I told God this. This is exactly what I told the Lord. I said, Lord, if there is breath in my nostrils, I will only sing for you. That is what I decided. Okay, if there is breath in my nostrils, I will only sing. Ever since, wherever I've got the opportunity, I've sung for the Lord. Now, what I'm going to share with you is from the story of the parables. Okay? The parable of the talents. Everybody knows the parable of the talents? Do I need to kind of recap? Not needed. Otherwise, our friend, 11-year-old friend will help me, right? He's like the encyclopedia. So, Wikipedia. So, the parable of the talents, I want to share with you a few principles. Very simple stuff, not too deep, but I'm hoping it will help you, okay? The reason why I'm saying this is, I look around and I see so many young people waste their time. I see them waste their life, waste their opportunities, and that's the reason why I want to share this. Okay, so number one, when you look at this very quickly, very, very quickly, I'll run through this. Number one, we need to understand the source of our talents. The source of our talents. Okay? So I'll read the verses for you. Don't turn there. Okay? This is from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 25. Don't turn there. I will just read it for you. Just listen to it very, very carefully. Okay? Quickly we'll go through this and then we are done. Verse 14 says like this. If you're sleepy again, you should tell me. Okay? And again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted what? Fill in the blanks. Entrusted? Guess quickly. Parable of the talents. Entrusted? Talents, but there's another word. It's called his property. Okay, that's what it says in the NIV. He entrusted his property to them. So number one, what I wanted to kind of mention is the source of the talent is the master. Okay, he entrusted whose property? Your property to your? No. He entrusted his property to you. So number one, what we need to understand is that he has entrusted his property to us. Clear? Number two. Verse 15 says, according to each own ability. He entrusted his talent according to each one's ability. So number two point is, everyone has their share. Everyone has their share. Many times we look into the mirror and say, where is my talent? Any one of you ask that question? Most of the time when I go around, people say, I don't know what my talent is. I don't know what I'm good at. I don't know. I don't think I have. When I look at that brother, he's so talented. When I look at this sister, she's so talented. Where is my talent? Okay. Now this is a question. I don't have answers. Okay. Don't ask me all that. I have absolutely no answers for that. I will only tell you this. If the master has entrusted his property to you, he has given you a talent. Okay? He has given you a talent. And that is why the Bible says, I thank you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Means I am unique. I am unique. There is only one person like Cherian. Who is that? Huh? That's me, huh? Or is it somebody else? It's me. And that itself is exciting enough. If there is only one person, there, you know, earlier when we were in school, they used to say, there are nine people, something like that, eight people who, I don't know what nonsense where they got it from. Which teacher taught them that, I still don't know. Seven people like you. That's nonsense. Science says that there cannot be even a snowflake which is identical to another snowflake. Snowflake? The white one? What is the difference in a snowflake? I don't even know. What is the difference between two snowflakes? But there are no two identical snowflakes. That's our God. When He created you and me, everything different. Even conjoined twins are different from each other. They have different ambitions, they have different skill sets, they have different likings. So I am unique first of all. So I don't have to copy anybody else. I have a talent. The master has given me one talent. Okay? Number three, quickly. Verse 19 says, He settled accounts with them. Means, talent, if I'm aware I am having a talent or not is irrespective of all of that, I have to settle accounts with whom? With whom? With the master. Okay? Are you okay with that? Okay? We have to settle accounts with the master. Verse 21 says, well done, you good and faithful servant. And the master will reward the faithful. Okay? So these are the four things I want to share with you as far as the source of our talents are concerned. Number one, talents belong to whom? Master. Number two, everyone will have his share. Number three, we are accountable to the master. Number four, the master will reward the faithful. And of course, punish the unfaithful. Okay, this is the source of the talent. We know this. Nothing new. Okay? Now, the most important thing in this, okay, there are a lot of people who are talented, right? The believers, unbelievers, everybody is talented. People have different talents. There are most of the unbelievers are more talented than us in a way. Okay? You look around, you will see them, they are so talented. But for a Christian, our attitude towards our master will decide our attitude towards our talent. Okay? Because if you look at the unfaithful servant, what did he say? I know you are a hard man. Because of that, what did I do? I kind of buried my talent. So my attitude towards my master will decide my attitude towards my talent. That's for a believer. Okay? Because talents are there for everybody. He makes the rain to fall on the good and the evil. That's our God. He's so benevolent. Yeah? But for a believer, our attitude towards our master will decide the attitude towards our talent. Got that? Is that clear? Alright. Number two. This is where I want to spend, say, another 15 minutes. Okay? So, the source of our talents we cleared. Next is, the moment two people got their talents, the Bible says that they went and put it to work. They went and put it to work. Yeah? And what did they do? So, they actually multiplied their talents. Okay? So, I'm going to spend the next 15 minutes on the multiplication of the talents that God has given us. Practical suggestions. This will work with anybody. It's not just for a believer. It will work for anybody. This is something that you can hear or pick up from any book. But I want to share it with you because I believe believers are the most slothful people sometimes in using our talents. We don't use our talents. We don't like using our talents. We live boring lives which even the devil himself is bored when he looks at us. You know, so boring. Like, what will I do with this fellow? Doesn't move, he doesn't do anything. Even morning to evening, he's watching TV or playing video games. What can I do with him? You know, that kind of a thing. So, what should we do to multiply our talents? If it is the master's talent, and if he's rewarding our talents, and if I have a talent, what should I do with my talent? Okay, I have to multiply. So, So there are a few things I want to share with you before we do the multiplication of our talents. Why don't we use our talents? One can be we don't know our talent. Correct? Yes or no? Yes. But the point is, who will know our talent? You tell me. Who will know our talent? Yeah, say it. Hey, what is this? You guys are so scared. Now I'm feeling scared. Let the you tell me. The brothers tell me. We will know our talents, okay? Okay, so what if we don't know our talents? Yes, most of the time we should be able to know our talents. What if we don't know our talents? Who will know? Who said that? A master will know our talents. See, the one who created the watch, if the watch doesn't know what it's supposed to do, you should ask the person who created the watch. Right? Alexander Graham Bell will tell you why the telephone was made. Correct? Telephone might be sitting there wondering, why do I exist? But you ask Alexander Graham Bell, he will tell you why he made the telephone. Why? See, if you look at, you know, the big philosophy that everybody has been giving, the whole world, okay, you go to Sri Ravi Shankar or you go to anybody, okay, they will tell you, three main questions that they try to address is what? Who am I? Huh? What am I doing? Where am I going? So three questions, right? Who am I? What am I on earth here for? And where am I going? Who knows that better than the one who put you here? Who knows that better? And that is why it's so important for us to get back to our Creator. That is why the gospel is so important. What Adam, the first Adam, lost in the Garden of Eden, we need to restore it. How? Jesus came to reconcile God to man. And what is our job? Is to introduce Jesus to others, right? Simple. The ministry of reconciliation, Paul's word. God has given us the ministry of reconciliation, and that is the biggest job. Why is the sharing and the preaching of the gospel so important? Why is it important? Because that's the greatest job that a man can have. Reconciling God to man. Man to God. That's what it is. Okay, why I deviated. What I was trying to say is, so you can ask the master. You can ask the master, what are my talents? Okay? Or you can ask your parents. You can ask other people. Hey, do you think I'm good at this? But you should ask a true friend, okay? Because if you ask another friend, he'll say, oh yeah, you are excellent, your vocals is amazing. You go sing, they'll throw stones at you, you know? So you should be very careful whom you ask. Ask a good, true friend. Or your parents, or your elders. Because, you know, one big mistake that happens with many people, they come on reality shows, especially American Idol and all that, okay? I don't know what is your theology on television watching and all, brother. So you can clarify all of that next Sunday, alright? What you should watch and what you shouldn't. Ask your elders. Okay, I'm just giving you certain things on, you know, American Idol, sometimes you'll hear these horrendous vocalists who come and croon, and they're terrible. Have you heard them? You'll hear them on YouTube. They're terrible. I mean, you wonder how in the heavens did they come on American Idol. Some of them will come and tell you, yeah, my mother told me when I was a small boy that I sing so well. But the point is, for a mother, almost every child is a good singer. Correct? You come and do that on American Idol, you're not a singer at all. They'll kind of boo you down. Alright, so you should be careful whom you ask. But friends and parents can be good pointers. They can tell you, maybe you're good at this. Okay? So once you discover, what is the other reason why you would not use your talents? Tell me. And all, if you tell me, I will not understand. You please tell me very clearly, you know. Talk to me in English, not in tongues. I will not understand. Yeah. Fear. Who said that? You said that. Okay, thank you. I mean, if you ask me, the biggest thing that stood between me and using my talents was fear. Fear. Okay, and I'll tell you why. Okay. Number one is our past failure. Okay? Has anybody failed in the past? Huh? Yeah? Past failure can be a big inhibitor when it comes to using your talent. I'll give you an example. Okay? I took this decision to sing only for the Lord, no? In college. Huh? And I said, okay, Lord, I will sing for you. So somebody came to know that I sing for the Lord and all. They said, okay, there is a convention in Kerala. Why don't you come and you sing? Okay? So I decided, okay, I will sing this English Christian gospel song by person called Stephen Curtis Chapman. Okay, he's one of my favorite contemporary Christian artists. So I learned the song, My Redeemer is Faithful and True, and I came. Okay, I put my guitar in and Kerala sound systems are terrible. Okay, for people, you need to sing by faith. It's called singing by faith. You can't hear yourself. You can't hear anybody else. You have to. Your faith will get exercised during your performance in Kerala. Okay, now it's much better. This is I'm talking about when I was in college 10 years back. Okay, so I connected my guitar and I started singing. So I said, Lord, this is all for you. Everything all surrendered. I'm going to sing. And the moment I started strumming, I realized that I can't hear the guitar. Okay? That was very clear. Not able to hear the guitar. And brother, you know, if you can't hear the pitch, you'll sing other pitch. You'll sing in a pitch and the guitar will sing in its own pitch. So, the guitar is on one pitch, I'm in a different pitch, we are just rocking it, you know, and I can't hear. So, but after the first stanza was over, the person who's mixing the sound, right? One look at his face and I realized he's in pain. You know, there's something terribly going wrong. So he was going like this and this and then I tried avoiding him, you know, I tried like singing like this and all that. But after a while, I came back backstage I finished the song I finished the song somehow and I knew it was a disaster. Okay. I came, stood behind and then one thing I realized before the benediction, I will vanish from that place. Okay, that is what I decided and I kind of stood there and I ran out. Okay, when the benediction happened. I'll tell you that story later. But ever since, you know, after that experience, that 10 years back, whenever I get an opportunity to sing, what comes to my mind? That sound engineer's face. Correct, no? Lord, I told God, nothing doing, this is enough. We go back to Hindustan College of Engineering with Bon Jovi, happy. You know, what is this? But then what happened is, when I was running out, one uncle saw me, okay. He came running behind me. And he shook my hand and this is what he said. He said this in Malayalam, but I'll tell you in English. Whatever you want to do for the kingdom, uncle is there with you. What an encouragement that was, you know, at that point of my, you know, it's embarrassing. I mean, you guys know what I'm talking about. It's so embarrassing. And now I don't have any qualms, okay? I mean, the sound engineer is good or bad, I don't care, I'll just sing. That's a different story altogether. But past failures can be very intimidating. Very, very intimidating. But I need to kind of get over it. Because God wants to use you. But if I stay in that past failure, it becomes very difficult. Okay? So be bold. Number one, be bold. Number two. Before coming to the next point, let me tell you this. There was another guy in the Bible who was very scared like me. You know his name? Gideon. He was like Samson, supposed to be one of the judges. Yeah? He was so scared. And what was he doing? He was supposed to be the judge. What was he doing? Threshing? Who said that? Threshing wheat in a wine press. Right? Scared of the Midianites. Right? This is an encyclopedia. You need to help us here. Yeah, so he was threshing wheat in a wine press because he was scared of the Midianites. Okay? And then the Lord said, I want to choose this man. Okay? I want to choose this guy. And what did he come and tell? The angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon and said what? What did the angel of the Lord tell Gideon? Hey, you useless fellow. You're so scared. How can you be the judge of Israel? Is that what he said? Huh? You sissy? When are you going to grow some guts? Is that what he said? What did the angel of the Lord say? I'll tell you. This is what the angel of the Lord said, okay? Verbatim. Jehovah with you, you mighty man of valor. Jehovah with you, you mighty man of valor. Only God can see a Gideon like that. I'm telling you. If Gideon were to look in the mirror, his knees would be shaking and hitting each other, you know? And God looks at him and says, Jehovah with you, you mighty man of valor. Why do I believe God can use young people? Why do I believe God can use scared people? Why do I believe God can use the timid ones? Because He used Gideon. 300 people, one full army he brought down. That's the God of Gideon. So you need to be bold. Take some steps. You can make some mistakes, no problem. Nothing is going to happen. The Lord is with you. Okay, so number one, be bold. Number two, this is the tough part. Okay, this is like, oh yeah, we know. We don't want to listen to that. That's the point. Okay, it's called be focused and be disciplined. Okay, that's the second point. Be focused and be disciplined. Okay, how many of you have made a New Year resolution? One, two. The brothers don't make resolutions good. Sisters, anybody else? Three. Yeah, I counted yours. Four. That's it. Brothers? No? Go to the gym? No? No? You guys are wise. Nobody? The elders, anybody? No? No decisions? Or maybe it's like, don't ask us. Yeah? Nobody's made New Year decisions? My goodness, I can't believe this. You know, I made a decision. You know what the decision is? That I will not make any decision this year. But nobody's made any decisions. No? Oh, that's funny. See, New Year, you should make decisions, okay? I'm not saying you should. Decisions are very important. But most of the time, what happens is, we make decisions, we are not able to fall through. Correct? That happens for everybody. It happens for us. People who, hey, come on. No, you guys don't want to go to the gym? Nobody? Yeah. You want to, right? Yeah, then why didn't you raise your hand? Oh, it was not. Oh, it was last year's decision. Then? No resolutions. Okay, just go to the gym. That's good. Okay, I mean, that's like, every day you can make a new resolution, you know. Just go to the gym. Yeah. So, you know, what if we woke up, we slept in the night and got up the next day morning and six packs, tuck, 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 popped up. Wow, beautiful. That would be amazing, right? We think through six packs, the dream six packs, and the morning, yeah, six packs. But you look into the mirror and you'll see six packs becoming 12 packs and all that, yeah. But if you want to see that six packs, everybody loves the concept of the six packs, but nobody likes the concept of sweating it out. That's the reality. Nobody likes it. Who wants to get up early morning, 4 o'clock, go to the gym, you know, work out, sweat it out and come back? Nobody likes it. But if you want to use your talents for the kingdom of God, okay, you need to be focused and you need to be disciplined, okay? And in this focus area for a Christian, let me tell you something. Paul says this, for me everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Okay, now the importance of that I'll tell you. The ability for us to say yes to certain things, right? Okay, so something good, something great, if I have to say yes to it, I need to say no to a lot of smaller things. Did you understand what I'm saying? Am I clear? Or am I sounding like Shri Shri Ravi Shankar saying some... No. You're getting it, right? If I have to say yes to greater things, I have to say no to a lot of smaller things. Now, why am I saying this? See, we Christians, we form categories. What do we form categories into? This is sin, this is not sin. Whatever is not sin, I can do. Correct? Well, that is not how it is. That is why Paul says, that is permissible for me, but it is not beneficial. Now, this is very important for any Christian. Where you spend your time, whom you hang around with, it might not be wrong. What habits do you develop? It might not be wrong. Watching those kind of movies might not be wrong. Okay, it might not be wrong. But is it beneficial for me spiritually? Is it beneficial for me physically? Or is it beneficial for me in my physical, you know, kind of mentally? So these are the three things we need to ask ourselves. If I get into this, is it helpful for me? Now, God might want to use you in certain area. Okay? But if you do not say no to those certain other areas that you are involved in, you can never say yes to this. Never say yes to this. So, what decision you might want to take before you leave is, what are those small things which are, I can justify it, but I can knock it off my list. At the end of the day, we've got 24 hours, right? 24 hours. I always tell my wife, I need at least 96. I don't have enough time. But everybody's got only 24 hours. How do I do what God wants me to do? By knocking everything else off the list. Am I making sense or am I not? I'm not convinced. Yes? Yeah, okay, alright. So I'll just believe, okay, what you say. Okay? So now, if I have to say yes to those greater things, it requires a lot of sacrifice. Okay? It requires sacrifice. What does it involve? Practically, I'll tell you. Sometimes, please spend time with your friends. Sometimes friends want to hang out for a long time, for maybe certain things which are not so beneficial. I can say no to that. Okay? It is not, brother, do people watch movies here, or they're not supposed to watch movies?
Rules, yeah. So, okay. So, if there are no rules, if you have a habit of watching movies, you can decide not to watch. See, if you're watching like 10 movies a year, you can decide not to watch 10 movies. You can watch 5 movies. Okay. I'm just giving you clues. Because the more you spend time with the system of the world, unfortunately, it kind of engages you so much, you have no time for the things of God. It's not about this right, that wrong and all that. That's not what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say, what is that I can engage with so that I can, you know, I can disengage with certain things so that I can engage with something greater. Certain relationships, certain practices, certain habits, I can always break it. It might be okay, but I can break it. And especially in today's world, because our smartphones are, you know, earlier our smartphones had just number keys, right? The Nokia 3210, nobody would have used it. Anybody? Brother, you would have used, right? Nokia 3210. We had a snake that used to go like this. That's the only game you could play. Yeah? Yeah, 3210 and 3310. After that, now, if you need to take out your phone, it's like a bag and all that. You'll have to hold it like this. Because so many apps, and you open the desktop, you don't know where to click, and it can engage you from morning to evening. You want to engage yourself? You can engage your, for a lifetime, there are apps that can engage you, for a lifetime. But how do I, and is it okay? Is it fine to use those apps? Of course you can use those apps. But where do I draw the line to say, God, this is it? That is your decision. And that's what I mean when I say, be focused. Be focused. Do that one thing, those two things God has asked you to do. Don't spread thin with so many things and occupy yourself that at the end of the day you have no energy, you have no time, you're just useless at the end of the day. Yeah, because these things will take your time out. You know, Facebook, WhatsApp, calling, messages, just, you know, YouTube. It's all good. I mean, I use them pretty regularly. But if I get onto it, for people who have access to the net, you'll know what I'm saying. While you're working, in between, you'll just go www.facebook.com and then go and just check, right? And that kind of takes that focus off that one job. It has happened to me. So try avoiding all of that. Okay, so what are the things that you will say no to so that you can say yes to greater things? Alright, so number two, be focused and disciplined. And number three, before we get into number three, you know, this saying no is a slightly a painful exercise. Painful in the sense, it involves a little bit of sacrifice. Saturday afternoon, you can sleep. Okay? Saturday afternoon, you have anything here? Only Hindi worship, right? Only Hindi worship. You might be able to sleep. Is it legitimate? Please sleep. Okay, if you are tired, you please sleep. But you can always say no to that to do something greater. You get what I'm saying? There's nothing wrong in sleeping in the afternoon. You can sleep till 7 o'clock in the morning, no problem. But 5 o'clock might make a difference. And that you will not know now. You will only know in hindsight. God might want to speak to you at 5 o'clock in the morning. If you are serious. That's why David said, I will not offer anything unto the Lord which costs me nothing. There is a price that we need to pay when it comes to our connection with God. So your ability to say no, this determines your ability to say yes. Okay? Because today we live in a world as Christians, we try to justify everything. Why can't I have this job? Why can't I make more money? Why can't I spend more time? Why can't I watch that movie? Why can't I hang around with these people? Why can't I take a sip of alcohol? And we try to justify everything while God is saying, hey, what are you wasting your time with? You're fighting your battles. I've got greater things. Okay, so say no to those things. Number three, plug in. 10 minutes. Plug in. Okay, number three is plug in. Now, when we have talents, what do we do? First of all, we need to see where we can make ourselves available. See, you know, ministry, you know, many times during camps, there are these altar calls for full-time ministry, half-time ministry, whenever you get time ministry. Have you noticed it? You know that, no? Oh, brother, commit yourself. There is a place for full-time ministry. I am fully for it. When God calls you, you better step out. Okay? He called certain disciples for full-time ministry. Certain people, he didn't. Okay? The point I'm trying to make here is, if I don't plug in, I will not even know where God can use me, when God can use me, for what God can use me. Okay? So don't wait for that divine call. Okay, one day morning, you know, like Saul, okay, one light will kind of shine and Gabriel will come with his feather and say, hey, Cherry, why don't you come and join us? No, no, no. Won't happen. It will not happen. Okay? Trust me. Very few people like Apostle Paul, very few people have those direct calls from the Lord. But the idea is, if I'm a Christian, I need to believe that what did Jesus tell me? Seek first His kingdom. Yeah? That He said? No, no problem, no. He also told me that you have to preach the Gospels to the ends of the earth. Applies to me and you? Yes or no? There's no disagreement there, right? So what should I do? For that, I need to plug in. Plug in means what? I come and tell the elder of the church, "Elder, I am available. I think this is my skill. Can you use me?" Let me tell you something, in the vineyard of God, okay, the harvest is so much that there is always work for people who are willing to do. You agree with me or not? There is always work. You make yourself available, you can be occupied 365, 24 hours. You can be. That much of work there is. I'm not saying that we need to respond to all needs, because that may not be our call. But if you make yourself available, God will use you in your local church. Come and tell, "I am available, this is what I can do. Why don't you use me?" Plugging in is very important. You know, many a times the call will happen when you plug in. Samuel was there near the ark when the call happened. Okay, if he was, so if that is the kind of, if you position yourself, when God wants to speak to you and redirect you and all that, you are there on the job. You know? And what happens when you plug in? You get better at what you do. You know, one thing I really enjoy when I come here is the worship. You know, I tell them, this is the only place I still see a keyboard and one vocal. You know, the camp also, I just enjoy it. Brother Nelson, right? Edwin. Brother Edwin and Brother Johnson. I just enjoy it. Nice music and nice keyboard. Really love it. Okay, last time they sang a lot of Tamil worship, and I really enjoy it. If they don't make themselves available, they say, no, I can't, not available, this is not possible, I need to sleep in the afternoon, I need to wake up for this, not available. So many people do that. How can the body of Christ be edified? See, you should understand this, okay? We are all bound by geographies. Don't expect for a moment, anybody who enjoys, I don't enjoy too much of contemporary worship nowadays, I like more of the hymns, but there are a lot of new contemporary worship bands, you know, like Chris Tomlin and Hillsong and all that, right? I mean, do we expect them to come and do their job here or what? It doesn't work, right? For this geography, God has designated two people and they will do their job faithfully. Now, if they don't decide to plug in, where will the resource come from? We all are waiting for that larger call, bigger opportunity. It doesn't work. In your geography, that's why David said, what did he say? "You have made my boundaries fall in pleasant places." I know where my boundary is. My boundary is where God has placed me. I should perform there. I don't have to perform in go to South Africa and then do some concert. I mean, if God wants to lead me there, that's a different story. But that's not the boundary. He has put a boundary for me. Your Sunday school, very important. Your church, very important. Your worship is very important. Where God has put you. Your college, your job. Many of us Christians, you know, we go for work. You know how it is. How, anybody working? Working? Nobody's working. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. How do we go for work? Oh, Monday morning. I have to see the face of my boss. I don't know what. And then Sunday we came. Oh, we should evangelize. How do we do that? That is hypocrisy. That is hypocrisy. I'm telling you, that is hypocrisy. We have to go for work knowing that God has put us here. I will do the best unto the Lord. If my appraisal happens or not, I will do it unto the Lord. I need to tell myself. I'm not saying that you will be happy. I mean, by God, I enjoy what I do. Okay, I'll be honest with you. But sometimes, if you're not too happy, maybe God will give you another opportunity where you can find your space. I'm not saying that you have to kind of, you know, change the environment and circumstances. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you can't, you spend like 9 to 10 hours minimum at your work, and if all that you do is complain about your boss, what kind of Christianity do we have? Whatever we do, in thought, word or deed, let's do it all for the glory of God. So we have to plug in. We need to know where we belong. We need to know where our geographies are. That defines our purpose. That defines our purpose. Okay, so let me move. I've got 3 minutes. Okay, so let's, so first I said be bold. Second I said be focused and disciplined. Number three, plug in. I think we'll be done in 2 minutes. So when we plug in, I also want to tell you, there's a verse in the Bible which says, as iron sharpens iron, let one man sharpen another. You've read that verse, right? Read that verse? No? Okay, there's a verse in the Bible, okay? Which says, as iron sharpens iron, let one man sharpen another. Okay, what it means is this. Wood cannot sharpen iron. Okay, if iron is going to be sharpened using wood, nothing will happen to the iron. Iron will still be blunt. But if iron needs to be sharpened, iron needs to be struck by iron. Okay, for believers, that's how it is. If I spend like Samson all my time partying with my friends without touching alcohol, just partying around, I cannot be sharp come Sunday morning. It will not work. There's no miracle that will happen just because Sunday morning I come here. It doesn't happen that way. I need to be around believers who will sharpen me, who will encourage me. That is why we need to spend time with elders and mentors and people whom we look up to as far as the things of God are concerned, so that we can learn from them, get sharpened by them, our formation years will be defined when we spend time with them. Yeah, so spend time. That's why, again, that's why I say it's not about doing whatever is permissible. It's doing what is the best for that time. So, as iron sharpens iron. Okay? Fourth, last. Today matters. So, I mentioned what? Be bold, be focused and disciplined. Number three, what did I say? Plug in. Number four? Today matters. Yeah, today matters. What's important about today? I kind of once in a while go walking and running and all that, because my doctor told me I have to, because I travel a lot, and then that kind of setting into all my system, so my counts and all that are not looking all that great, so doctor said you better start running. So whenever my wife says, hey, get up, run, like, when? Tomorrow. Yeah, when? Standard answer. When will you run? Tomorrow I will do this. You know, see, that's why somebody said, we exaggerate our tomorrows. Yeah? We exaggerate our tomorrows. Today? Not important today. So that's very important. Today, very important. Very important. See, the only day that we have some control over is today, in terms of our life. Only day. Today? That's why Moses said, today if you hear his voice, what? Do not harden your hearts. And David said what? This is the day that the Lord has made. Today, I will rejoice. What did Joshua say? You choose. As for me and my house, today, we will serve the Lord. So that's the important point. Okay, today is very important. We always overestimate our tomorrows, exaggerate our yesterdays. Oh, long time, 5 years back, I did like this. Who cares? And after 2 years, I will do like that. Who cares? Today, what are you going to do? That's the point. So don't, you should plan, you should do a lot of things, but today is very important. Somebody asked, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's Martin Luther, okay, our reformist father. I think somebody asked, brother, correct me, I don't know, I think it is Martin Luther. Somebody asked, how's your schedule? How does your schedule look like? Because he was like the man, right? He's the one who created the Protestant movement. Half of us sit here because of him. Okay, so what is your schedule like? What is your itinerary? Show me your itinerary for the next 7 months, 7 years, 5 years, 4 years. He said, I've got only 2 days in my calendar. What is that? Today and that day. What a glorious itinerary. Only thing that matters is today, and that day is when he stands before the judgment seat of Christ. And that is what he's looking forward to. Today and that day. Beautiful, isn't it? That should give us a lot of motivation. Whatever we are planning to do after 5 years, no? Do today. Plan. Important to plan. Without planning, you can't do anything. But do it today. Okay? So four things I told you, and then I close with a story. Okay? What are the four things? Be bold, be focused and disciplined, plug in, and today matters. Okay? So this is how you multiply your talents. I just gave you a broad picture. What you can do on a practical level is go sit at the feet of the Lord and say, Lord, I would like to do all of these things. Will you help me? Do you think I should do it? Do you think I shouldn't? These are the four things I need to cancel out of my life. It's taking a lot of my time. These relationships are not helping. I need new relationships. Put all of that together and tell God, today I want to kind of commit this to you. Okay, these are the four things about multiplying your talents. Last, what is the purpose of the talents? What is the purpose of your talents? Okay, now you all know, I also know, that there are a lot of people who are more talented than us. Right? More talented. Like I told you, I enjoy their singing. Okay? I love it. But there may be more talented people. Maybe. I don't know. What is the purpose of the talents that God has given us? What is the talent? What is the purpose? So I'm going to share one story with you and close. Okay? There was a young boy who used to play violin very well. Very well. He used to play the violin beautifully. He was so good. He was a young prodigy. And he used to be so good that people around used to come and hear him.
Okay, so one day they put a they kind of fixed a massive concert for him along with the Philharmonic Orchestra, and he started playing. All right, so the people from his town and from the neighboring towns, and there were huge crowds of people just gathering just to hear this young prodigy play. Okay, so the young prodigy started playing. He played his first piece, and when he finished, when he was about to finish, the whole congregation just clapped and applauded and said, "Hey, whoa, bravo, amazing job done!" And they were going like really gaga over this guy. And this guy finished playing, and they looked at this young boy's face after all the applause was over. And he's motionless. He's not smiling. He's not talking. Nothing. Nothing is happening. So they were wondering, is he blind? Is he deaf? Is he not able to kind of perceive all the applause that's going on? And then he started playing his second piece. Okay? When the second piece was over, the entire congregation stood up on its feet and started clapping and applauding and standing ovation and the works and whistles going. And they looked at this boy's face. And he was grim. Not a smile on his face. Not a smile on his face. And then he started playing the third piece. Okay. And by the time the third piece was over, the crowd went wild. He was like ultimate. And when they applauded the third time, they didn't applaud too much extra than the second time because already they had applauded so much. By the end of it, a small smile started appearing on the boy's face. And he was looking straight across the crowd. So the crowd was a little intrigued. They were wondering, why is he now smiling? And they looked back to see who he was looking at. Okay? And they looked back and they saw his master, his violin master, nodding his head like this. For the boy, the ovation didn't matter. Not one bit. You want to clap? You clap. You don't want to clap? No problem. One thing matters to me, and that's the nod of my master. What is the purpose of our talents? One day, he should say, good and faithful servant. I'll tell you one thing. If you're planning ministry, not planning ministry, planning big things, small things, it doesn't matter if you've done the biggest of ministries, and if you've done the biggest of crusades, and your name is everywhere, and finally the master is not impressed. My friend, life wasted. Wasted! But if you did that one small thing faithfully, and the master nods his head, that is all you and I need. That is all you and I need. Eric Liddell, how many of you have heard Chariots of Fire? Eric Liddell said this when he went as a missionary to China, but before that he used to run. Okay, and he took some very strong stands. And he used to say this, when I run, I feel the pleasure of God. When I run, I feel the pleasure of God. There is no job which is secular. Not a single thing. If you are a housewife, if you are a electrician, you are a plumber, if you are a CEO, nothing is secular. As a Christian, everything is sacred. When you finish your job, if the master nods his head, that's all you need. That's all you need. Our life's purpose is defined by the master's nod. Period. If he nods, life is a success. That's all. So my question to you young people, are you going to bury your talents? Are you going to waste your talents? And biggest treasure that the Lord has given you is life and time and energy. Young people, right? We have a lot of energy. Some of us already look like 80. It's like, when are you going to let us go home? Yeah? But that's what we have. And if we don't use the talents and squander it like Samson, what a pity on us. What a pity it would be. But if the master would nod at us saying, you had that little, you did something with it. That's all. Because the mathematics of heaven is different. And we need to understand that. The mathematics of heaven is always different. He called you for that small meeting, you go there. If they ask you to pray, you go pray. My friend, that's all that matters. That is all that matters. And that's how you find your purposes for God. We live in a world where people tell you to aspire for the bigger and the larger and all that. You aspire for it. I mean, I don't know how scriptural all of that is. But being in the perfect will of God where He nods His head, if that is it, that settles it. Alright? So make some decisions when we go from this place that the Master should be pleased. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and praise your Father in heaven. That they may praise your Father in heaven. Let them look at us and say, wow, what a wonderful master he's got. Yeah? Let's not be bad advertisement like Samson, but let's be good advertisement. Alright, let's pray and then we close. Alright? Bow your heads. Please make those decisions. Today is the day. Today. Don't postpone your decisions. Take your decisions today. Father, we thank you for this time. We know that it's with a great purpose that you have called us. It's with a great, it's a great appointment that you have given us this afternoon. Lord, it is not wasted time. It is time spent in your presence. Lord, your word was spoken and we know that it will do its job. And we come to you, Lord, asking for mercy in our time of need. We approach boldly to your throne of grace, knowing, O God, that you want to give us all that we need for life and godliness. And even as we surrender and submit and humble our lives to you, God, we ask you for supernatural strength by the power of your Holy Spirit, that we might lead godly lives, use every single talent to the last bit that you have given us for your glory. Lord, not unto us, but your fame and your renown is the desire of our hearts. Let us not do anything out of selfish ambition or conceit, Lord, but everything unto you, whether we eat or drink or what we talk or do, whatever we do, Lord, it might be all done for thy glory and thy glory alone. So we ask you, Lord, that you would fill us with thy Holy Spirit to live lives that are pleasing to you. At the end of our lives, that you would nod your head in approval. Lord, we don't want to be servants who hang our heads in shame, but we would be able to stand up in front of you by your grace, knowing very well that you would appreciate us for what we have done and reward us accordingly, Lord. So I pray that you would give us that grace. We pray for every single person. As we go home, Lord, we ask for your grace to fill us and we ask you for the power of your Holy Spirit, for special anointing. Lord, everything that we need, Master, to live a life of victory in the sinful world. We ask you for that grace. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
നിങ്ങളുടെ ഹൃദയത്തിൽ നല്ല ചില ആഗ്രഹങ്ങൾ ഉൾക്കൊള്ളപ്പെട്ടുവെങ്കിൽ ഞങ്ങൾ കൃതാർത്ഥരായി. കൂടുതൽ ആത്മീയ സന്ദേശങ്ങൾ കേൾക്കുവാൻ www.charismaticassembly.org എന്ന വെബ്സൈറ്റ് സന്ദർശിച്ചാൽ